The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's quite very important to thank Mathias Sangala with the Twilight. Yeah, it's the 17th of November, 2025. It's a beautiful Monday, and it's quite very important when you start your Monday with much energy. You start your Monday with good plans. Start your Monday with a positive vibe. And also look at the future ahead of you, because like we're always saying to say, moving forward, every day when you are waking up, you are a day older, or you are 8 hours older, and we'll never go back, we'll never grow younger anymore, because every day, every hour, every second, that is your growth. What is very important is that, are you looking forward, or you are regretting about the past? Because, you know, one of the facts of life that we need to put on the table, particularly when you are looking forward, either is personal development, is economic development of the country. The fact that we need to put on the table is that the past is a past. Whether it's positive, ugly, you will never change it. But it's also very interesting to record what have happened in the past, because they define our future. So that's why it's quite very important to look at that aspect. And
my friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Ripurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, it's very important to look at the future. What can we do? What can we do best, particularly when it comes to issues of economic development? And the other aspect is that there is nothing that we can do about the past, but there is always things that you need to do, especially when you look at the future, when you look at what you can we do about our life, and also what we need to do about other people. So it's few weeks, 2 weeks before December, before end of 2025. And analyze yourself, analyze the institution, analyze people, and also see what have you done right, and also what you need to do best, particularly when it comes to things that are related to plans and also things of the future. 2026 is around the corner, and we are marching toward 2030. But yeah, with upcoming regional and local authority elections, people are preparing. Campaigning is here and there, and you can also see political leaders positioning themselves. But what is very important and what we are always advising is that people must always be at the center of any intention of any leader, an intention of every leader to make sure that people's development, the changing of lives, the basic needs such as shelter, food, and also housing must be at the center of every political campaign to make sure that at least you have a game plan. You have a game plan for the people that you are going to save. So let us start with what is happening around the world. We understand that COP30 is still ongoing, especially when it's coming to conference of party, especially when it's coming to issues that are related to climate change. But at this juncture, it's always very important to look at what are the leaders at COP30 are saying, especially when it's coming to climate migrants. And this is also where we are going to, it's also a context where we are going to put also, you know, our neighbors, particularly, our neighbors from Angola, what have, have been stated, particularly by International Organization for Migration, because it was stated that at COP30, the International Organization for Migration stated that, global leaders or urge global leaders to protect the rights, dignity of those living on the front line of climate crisis, including migrants, displaced persons, indigenous people, and, traditional and local communities. These are the people who are affected by flood, heat waves, droughts, and storms, which force them to leave their countries, to leave their destinations, to look for better, living standard, and also to look for, safety and refuge in their neighbor. So, stated that, International Organization of Migration, International Organization of Migration have indicated that, leaders must accommodate and also must protect the rights of those people. Now, this is the context where you are also going to put, our sisters and brothers of Angola, the one that you are seeing in the street there, the one that you are seeing in the street, the one that we are insulting every day, the one that we don't want to give food and assistance, must be able to realize that, it's not their, it's not their wish. They never thought about being in Namibia. If you put it into that context, they were forced by the situation. And you can also be the same if something like that happened to you. Imagine somebody, a kid of 7 years, kid of 6 years, who is in the street and also begging for assistance. That is not a situation that every person wish for. And also that is not a situation that every, government wish for. But situation of climate, such as drought, flood, these are some of the situations which affect people and also force them to leave their countries and also to look for, assistance, help, and also survival. Because one thing that you need to do, and we have been seeing pronunciation from various leaders to say, let us apply cautiousness, especially when we are dealing with our neighbors, either it's from Angola or other countries. People leave their countries not because it's what they want, it's because situation on the ground is not conducive. That's why every person look for survival. Some people, they get they start to be so defensive when you put on the scale of a debate to say, no, you were also at one point in Angola, or you were also at one point in scattered around the neighbors, because here at home, the situation was difficult. People were running away from apartheid, and there was also a situation like that. But at this point in time, yes, it was stated by International Organization for Migration, is that, rights of those people must be protected. Doesn't mean that when somebody ran away from his country because of drought, you must treat him or her as a slave. But, you need to make sure that you respect the international human rights, and also make sure that you are accommodative and respect a human being, not because of color, not because of background, not because of the situation at home, but a human being with full rights and respect. So let us look at this news and move forward.
The United Nations Migration Agency called on global leaders at COP30 to protect the rights of people affected by the climate crisis, including migrants, displaced persons, indigenous peoples, and local communities. Extreme weather events are one of the biggest drivers of displacement.
Early warning systems, resilience services, and livelihoods in the high-risk areas are vital to support the right to stay. When we as IOM speak to many of those who have been displaced, when you ask them what they want and what solutions mean for them, it's about being able to go home. But the homes that they know, the livelihoods that they had, have been impacted by climate. So it's about building their resilience. There's a lot that has been said about climate finance and this finance getting to local communities, indigenous people, and migrants. But we want to go beyond saying it. We want to go beyond recognizing it. It has to be implemented.
Developing countries with little contribution to climate change have been disproportionately affected by it. This year's UN climate talks are set to run until November 21st in Brazil.
Yeah, that is what is, happening, especially regarding respecting and also recognizing of those who left their countries due to the impact of climate, and also see how you can live with them, and also how we can also assist other human beings, particularly those who find themselves in a difficult situation. So the other news, especially when it's coming to continental affairs, to a state that Tanzania launched inquiry into post-election killings. It was stated that President of Tanzania, the President Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan, told Parliament that they launched a commission of inquiry, especially regarding post election killing, and yet to see the outcome of that inquiry. It was indicated that Tanzania is launching an inquiry into the last month post-election killing, and President Samia Suluhu told Parliament on Friday. And it was stated that, opposition leaders indicated that hundreds and hundreds of people were killed during the protest of post-October 29 presidential elections. And it was stated that some of the bodies or security forces did not... did not reveal the right number of those who were killed. Now, the president is indicating that, she's launching a commission of inquiry, and yet to see, because, the aim of commission of inquiry is to dig deep and also investigate what really have happened, how many people were killed, who is at fault, and also, when you look at that, and also recommendation of what need to be done, are there going to be any punishment being done? Was this, people taking advantage of the situation to punish others political? Or was it also political motivated, killings or other things? Because at the end of the day, the Commission of Inquiry must always come with a recommendation, or it can just, come with... formality of commission of inquiries like we are seeing, but zero recommendation. It was indicated that the president has also acknowledged opposition party Chadema's demand that for constitutional reform, and said her administration would embark on the reform process within 100 days. And it's quite something for interpretation to say that the president of Tanzania, so willing to rebuild her country and willing to reform, especially when it's coming to constitutional reform. Because remember, on the 29th of October, elections which happened in Tanzania, that election happened during a very difficult situation, particularly where opposition leaders, when election was happening, opposition leaders and their deputies, most of them were jailed, and also their parties were banned from contesting. That's why these elections ended up with the result of 98% in favor of the sitting president, that is Meme Samia Suluhu Hassan. And also on that ground, it also led to protest, post-election protest, that also led to the killings of, protesters that are also unaccounted for, because we look at opposition, communication, they're indicating that over 1,000 people were killed, but there's no exact number. And looking at, and I want you to take it this way. Look at your interpretation of how democracy is in Africa, and also look at, are the African leaders happy with what happened in Tanzania, for example? Because in most cases, whatever happened, African leaders always like congratulating themselves. I don't want to tell you anything, but I want you to look at any, presidential pages in SADC, in Central Africa, everywhere, and look at how many of them have acknowledged and have congratulated, when, Meme Samia Suluhu has become, the president after 29, general, elections. How many of them? And what does it mean? Does it mean that they forgot? Does it mean that they are not happy with the results? Or what does it mean? And you have to interpret that in your own way. And when there is a problem, it's quite very important. Or even if you are not openly criticizing your counterpart, it's always very important for African leaders also to advise and assist each other, because they are the one who are leading us to say, what you have done here is not right. What you need to do is this. This is how people need to be led and all these things. But looking at also African Union observers mission, Tanzania has stated, especially when it was led by the former president of Botswana, indicated that the elections was not with international standard. But let us look at that.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic, don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are at we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and we are looking at continental affairs, particularly when Tanzania launched a commission of inquiry, especially to look at post election killings, and also to look at what really happened, and also because a commission of inquiry is not a format, it's an investigation. It's like what is happening in South Africa now, where you have parallel commissions of inquiry. You have a parliamentary ad hoc committee on, South African criminal justice system. And, you also have Madlanga Commission, where they work parallel with each other to look at, what have really happened. What are some of the recommendations? And post commission of inquiry, there's also prosecution of those who have done something wrong, and also lays of criminal charges. And also to sort out, because the reason of inquiry is to look at what really have happened, who is at fault, and how the question is also that how independent is this going to be if the commission of inquiry in Tanzania is really independent. Is there a possibility that they will find out that who have introduced commission of inquiry is also at fault? Are they going to be able to present those facts if that have happened? Or they are going to do what is just for formality. But it's yet us to see that let us not judge by looking at things, but let us look at the democratic process to take place. Could be that that of who we think has committed crime is not that of who really committed the crime. Because, some people take opportunities in chaos and can also tarnish your name. That's why it's always good to look at both sides and also to ask yourself to say, why the president come up with a commission of inquiry, and also what will be the outcome of the commission of inquiry in Tanzania, and also what does this mean to democracy in Africa, particularly in SADC. But one thing that you should also be thankful with SADC is that compared to other part of Africa, although you cannot say SADC is entirely peaceful, there is always it's easy to come on the table, and it's also easy also to deal with conflicts after parties not talking to each other, even to the point of killing of people. But coming to the table, I think in SADC that is also something that need to be appreciated, particularly when it's coming to SADC, because democracy is it's a better form of government among other form of government, but it's not the best. But that is a better form of government where individuals realize to say, at the end of the day, it's government of the people. It's not the one who has gun, but everybody who is on the ground is respected and is part of the whole state. So let us look at this news and move forward.
Post-election, Tanzania is launching an inquiry into last month's post-election killings. President Samia Suluhu Hassan told Parliament on Friday. Opposition parties say hundreds of people were killed during protests following the October 29th presidential election and blame security forces for the deaths. The government has not released an official death toll. Hassan said the inquiry would look into issues that led to the unrest and help inform reconciliation and peace efforts the government has pledged to undertake. Hundreds of people were also arrested during the 3 days of protests, some of whom have been charged with treason. Hassan said she had ordered the release of some of the protesters, adding that as a mother, she had forgiven those who joined the demonstrations out of peer pressure. Young people in Tanzania began demonstrating on election day to protest the exclusion of presidential candidates from the two main opposition parties. President Hassan was declared the winner with more than 97% of the vote.
Yeah, that is what has happened. That's what has happened. President Hassan indicated that as a mother, she has forgiven those who, joined protest due to peer pressure and is weary to rebuild her country. And she also indicated that she has accepted the recommendation from opposition party, especially when it comes to constitutional reform, and also look at what needs to be done, particularly when it coming to peace and also the development of Tanzania and the countries at large. And one thing that is very important is that when it comes to development in Africa, we must be able to understand that first of all there must be peace, effective governance, and also people who understand our national priorities. But if you don't do well when it comes to uniting people, there is no way that you're going to advance, because it's undeniable that people of different ideologies have different expertise, and they are always willing to, present their expertise if they are recognized. Because a country that is always agreeing on one thing is not a country that will build, because you need that second voice. You need that, criticism so that you can upgrade yourself. You need that, developmental pusher to say, if you are not doing well, there's an alternative. That's why you see that developed countries, they are always making sure that when it's coming to the aspect of opposition, when it's coming to the aspect of criticism, they are open about each other. Look at, for example, UK or British Parliament, you'll be able to realize that you will not even see who is in charge, because people there, they speak openly, they focus on policies. If you are the Prime Minister there, you must be able to make sure that you are strong enough and you understand how people are debating. Look at the United States of America. We can say whatever we say about the United States of America, but one thing that you cannot take away from the U.S. is separation of power, and also the power of institutions of the state, because you are not fully in charge. There is always check and balance, the judges and also the lawmakers, they have their power, and you also have the executive authority, and you have independent institutions too that can make their independent decisions. That's why when you look at developed countries, particularly those who understood the principles of democracy well, that aspect of effective governance, that aspect of whatever the ideology development should go on, is always very important. That's why we are saying at that juncture, it's always very important to observe and also understand to say, you know, it's not really the aim of everybody to, not the aim of every leader to punish his or her people, but at the center of that, the center of that is the interest of the nation, the interest of the nation. Let us hope Tanzania will do better next time, and also they will reform, you know, their country's constitution as it's accepted by the president, and also presented that aspect. Yeah, before we come at home, because as I indicated at the initial stage that today we are going to speak about the decision or the signing of a deal between Aliko Dangote on Dangote, you know, group of companies, and also the government of Zimbabwe, especially when it comes to building of over 2,000 kilometers fuel pipeline from the port of Walvis Bay via Botswana to Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, especially when it comes to intensifying of trade in southern Africa, and the change of the game of fuel price and trade, particularly when it comes to dependency of southern African countries when it's coming to fuel. Maybe the possibilities too of fuels or oil in southern Africa to be less expensive, and also to change the plan of industrialization and development in southern Africa. And when I'll be in the conversation with the economist who will join us from 7 there, we'll be talking about what is really Namibian benefit from this fuel pipeline. What are some of the opportunities which are going to be there? And also a question of asking to say, is this going to be an opportunity or a challenge when it's coming to the oil trade? Because it's always very important to draw the lines to say, when industries are being built, you also look at what you have, how are you going to navigate from that? Is it going to operate independently, or we are going to incorporate it also into our development? Those are the conversations that we are going to have, particularly from 7 toward 8 a.m. there. So for now, let's look at the short commercial break. Then we can also look at what is happening between M23 and Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly when it's coming to the peace deal that was signed in Qatar and on Saturday. And you're also asking yourself a question to say, why African problems are already solved on the outside? Why do we have to sign an agreement in Qatar? Why is not in South Africa? Why not in Uganda? Why not in Egypt? But did it happen the same? Have we ever seen countries, maybe in the Middle East, when they are fighting and they come to sign an agreement in Namibia or in Angola, or there is an interest there? Why Qatar is a problem solver, particularly when it's coming to DRC? Do we have interest there, or is it just a matter of being a global peace ambassador? But it's a question we are going to look at. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe odete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo, o tukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, mbali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms.
It's the time of year for festive savings at ShopRite. Discover merry deals and get big savings on all your holiday essentials. Shop and save on products like 2 kg Real Good Frozen Mixed Chicken Portions for only $89.99 and 1 litre Clover Long Life Full Cream Milk for just $19.99. Give more this Christmas with ShopRite's unbeatable prices, making your holidays extra special. Offers valid until 23 November 2025. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa, proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are looking at issues of development, issues of global affairs, and what affect bread and butter in Africa and also in Namibia, and what we need to do particularly moving forward when it comes to developmental affairs. For now, let us look at Democratic Republic of Congo. It was indicated that the government of Democratic Republic of Congo and M23 rebel group have signed a framework peace deal aimed at to end the fighting in eastern Congo. And this deal was signed in Qatar, in the capital city of Qatar, that is Doha, and it happened on Sunday. And it was stated that, you know, several documents signed in recent months as part of US and Qatar-backed efforts to end decades-long conflict that has killed thousands of people, displaced hundreds of thousands more this year. And, you know, something that also need to look at to say, why African problems are always solved on the outside, to say, is this a legitimate deal or is just part of, you know, what have been happening for quite some time? Because if you have to be real with the effect of history, if you have to be real with, you know, records of history or records of war in DRC. DRC have never seen peace since 1999, fully fledged peace because there is always a certain group, there is always a certain region which has, you know, an armed group, and the government is not in total control of the whole DRC. That is what you need to look at. It's happened, like, you know, what have happened with Syria, is that you spend, for example, 10 years with the government controlling one side, rebels are controlling the other side, people are controlling, or some people are controlling the other side, and it's the power of the barrel of the gun. Those who have strong firepower dictate what need to be done at a certain point in time. Because, you know, if you look at the records of DRC, and also look at why people are fighting, because there is always a reason behind, because the fighting is an outcome of a disagreement. People are fighting for resources. Resources are at the center of that. And DRC has interests of everybody in the world, has interests of everybody in the world. That's why you're always asking yourself to say, when they are speaking about the wealthy of DRC, they are speaking about the wealthy of DRC, they are speaking about DRC having underground wealth equivalent to the economy of United States of America. Speaking about between 25 to 30 trillion US dollars when it's coming to underground wealth. And you speak about your diamond, your coltan, cobalt, everything plus oil. But what is interesting in that aspect is that there is always somebody benefiting. You look at all these international well-known companies. They are there in DRC. But they are there in DRC. Mining is not stopping. The question is that who is benefiting from those resources? Why mining is not stopping? Because when these companies go to DRC, they go there with their private security, highly sophisticated weapons, and they only protect where they do business with. Why other area? Why people, ordinary people, are suffering? They're saying DRC is the richest country in the world in terms of resources, but the poorest country in terms of human development. And people are suffering. So the population of over 100 million people, they are displaced everywhere. There is no country without migrants from DRC. Look at the refugee camps, and that is not a good news at all. So let us look at this news and move forward with the conversation.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo and the M23 rebel group have signed a framework peace deal aimed at ending fighting in eastern Congo. The signing took place at a ceremony in the Qatari capital Doha on Saturday. It's the latest of several documents signed in recent months as part of US and Qatar-backed efforts to end the decades-long conflict. US representatives said the framework covers 8 protocols, and negotiations are ongoing on how to implement 6 of them. Qatar has been hosting talks between the two sides since April. In July, they agreed to a declaration of principles, and in October reached a deal on the monitoring of an eventual ceasefire. In January, M23 fighters seized eastern Congo's largest city, Goma, and went on to make gains across North Kivu and South Kivu provinces.
Yeah, that is what's happening. And why in Qatar? The question is, why in Qatar? You know, what is very interesting about DRC? It's very interesting about DRC is that, you know, after a long conflict, the government of DRC also held a military inquiry where you have around 30 generals there and colonels who have to be questioned to say, why are you losing the fight? Why did you lose the fight against M23? And you have also seen the prosecution of the former president, former president Joseph Kabila, was prosecuted and sentenced to death in absentia. And what is also very interesting about DRC is that the main negotiator of on behalf of the main leader now of M23 is a person who was a former, who was a former head of elections in DRC. The election which have seen, the outcome of the result which have seen the sitting president becoming victorious. It's very interesting. It's, for example, your head of ECN become the head of rebels, just for example's sake. And that is what's happened. That is a man by the name, Corneria Naga. It's very interesting to say, how do you jump from being the head of independent election institution, such as ECN and other institutions, and become the head of rebels? So all of those time you were politically motivated, because what it was supposed to be, what it ought to be, is that that of who is the head of election must be neutral as possible. But from neutrality to extremist is quite very interesting to see. To say, who is, how do you trust the results of those elections, and what was really motive? And what we need to ask also is that the strengths of institutions in SADC and also in Africa, to say, if you want to develop, what strengths are your institutions having? Particularly if you want to develop, if you want to develop your country, because at the end of the day is the strength and also those who are running those institutions, to say, are they working according to the mandate of those institutions, or they have their motives? And also the question of asking to say, why our problems are solved outside? What interest is Qatar has in DRC? Why are we not solving these problems within SADC region? Why are they not solved at an AU level? And why it did not happen the other way around? For example, when countries in the Middle East are fighting, why can't we solve the Iran war here in Africa, but is the other way around? So it's a question of interest, to say that of who has interest you is the same of that who is feeding you, and you must be able to understand and be careful, particularly when it's coming to external influence in national development and so peace, because it's not correct, it's not right. So to see African sons and daughters running from their own houses, from their own countries, just because of minerals, just because of natural resources that they have even little benefit from. And also a question of asking to say, how do we learn from other countries? What lesson can we learn from other countries? Because I remember at the oil and gas summit, the former minister of industries, mines and energy, that is Natangwe Ifete, mentioned something to say, countries must be very careful. Must be very careful. Namibia must also be very careful, especially when it comes to handling of its natural resources. And he mentioned something to say, those who are coming to negotiate with us, they must negotiate at our own terms. And also we have seen the history, what oil and gas has done, especially when it comes to peace, destruction of environment, and also conflict within our countries. So that is something that we need to look at. But for now, let us look at a commercial break. Then we can see if our guest is here, and how we are going to engage, particularly in the aspect of fuel. We speak about oil and gas. We speak about trade deals in Southern Africa. And also to look at what the richest man in Africa has put on the table. What is his long-term plan, particularly when it's coming to infrastructure development. Because if you look at what is debated to be the biggest oil refinery in the world, which is in Nigeria, it was built by Dangote. And also what he has done for his country and Africa too. And also look at the game changer when it's coming to fuel in Southern Africa. Must be able to look at this development with both eyes, and also to see, how do we jump into the wagon of development? How do you jump into the wagon of development? How do you jump into the wagon of development? What skills, what are some of the skills that you have for you to be part of those development? Because infrastructure being built in your country that you do not have, hands on, it's quite, not right. And it's also quite, not beneficial too, because those who come to build must also have, interest of, those who also want to benefit at heart, because just a pipe through your yard on the other side to the river are the deliverables, and also to indicate to say what other benefits can also come from this fuel pipeline, and also is it a threat, or is it a challenge, is it part of competition, or is it an opportunity for collaboration? Because there are always two sides of the coin to say what is in the lens of economists when it's coming to these kinds of development in Southern Africa, Namibia in particular. So let's look at this commercial break and we move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt, und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
You seem so worried.
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia reminds all registered voters, November 26, 2025 is the day to cast your vote. Head to the polls and exercise your democratic right by voting. Your vote is your voice, so put your voice in the box to make sure it's heard. Vote on November 26, 2025.
Bargain Hunters, you save has slashed prices on groceries, treats, fresh fruit, and veggies. 2 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 89.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilos champion spring maize meal, just 56.99 Namibian dollars. And pay just 19.99 for each of the following. 700 milliliter crystal gold tomato sauce, 1 liter clover full cream milk, and 200 grams of champion hunters polony. Save big at you save.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, and our guest will join us later, especially when it comes to the issue of oil and gas, especially when it's coming to the issue of oil, particularly when the man by the name Aliko Dangote has indicated that he's going to build or sign a deal with Zimbabwe to build a fuel pipeline from Walvis Bay via Botswana to Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, especially when it's coming to transportation of oil, and also following up with other development. But for now, while our guests will join us, let us look at the Villager newspaper. What do we have at the Villager newspaper for the 17th of November 2025? What do we have at the Villager newspaper? Because we have an e-paper that we're always indicating to you that you must always make time and take that opportunity to read through and get to the content and context of economics and development affairs. When you look on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, you can be able to read that City of Windhoek to cover 50% of Semnioma Stadium to upgrade. You know, it has been stated that there are efforts to develop, there are efforts to upgrade Namibians stadiums to category 2 of to category 2 when it's coming to CAF, and also when it's coming to a standard of African football, to allow Namibians professionals, especially the football players, to play at home and also to utilize those facilities, because as we are speaking now, Namibia is not at the standard of hosting any regional game, especially when it's coming to football. It's not at the standard of hosting any game. Even a free dream match between Namibia and Angola, it will not be played in Namibia because of the standard of the facilities. That's why it's quite a positive development, and it's quite important also to look at this article, particularly this article by Minavari Hangara, that is looking at the City of Windhoek to cover 50% of Semnioma Stadium upgrade, especially to come to the standard of Confederation of African Football, to upgrade Semnioma to meet international standard that are set by Confederation of African Football. And also to look at when you speak about 50%, what do we mean? How much is involved? And also to look at what rate, and also to look at for how long is it going to take, and also look at what is the way forward, particularly when it's coming to development of infrastructure, because you cannot develop without infrastructure, and that when we speak about infrastructure development, that is what we are speaking about. Moving forward, let us look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper. When you look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper, you have admission to short courses, new short courses available either in the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, especially with Valvicha University, where you have certification in workplace dispute resolutions. If you want to solve disputes at work, you want to be an expert in workplace dispute resolution. You know, they'll find people who are punching themselves in boardrooms there. You also find people who find workplace very difficult to be at. But if you want to be an expert in that, particularly from a legal point of view, you need to attend this course that is offered by Velvicia University. For more information, look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper. And you can also be able to look at these short courses. You can look at how long does it take, what is the cost of the course, what is the deadline, and also the amount. The amount is here, 5,500. It's very cheap for a course of that magnitude. You'll be able to get your qualification, your certification in workplace dispute resolution. That is, in simple terms, conflict resolutions and how to solve conflicts. And the requirements are there. The admission requirements are there, and you can be able to get that when you look at the Villager newspaper. So the other one is also a certificate in telecommunication policy and regulations. That is also offered by Velvicia University. Velvicia University, get time and look at admission requirements. Look at admission requirements and also look at the fees. Yeah, and on page 4, there's an article there, an article by David Sombe, that is looking at Bank of Namibia and government incorporated the creative industry, in their strategies. And this article is looking at what do we mean when we speak about incorporation of creative industry. I mean, in cooperation of creative industry in strategies, either is of Bank of Namibia or in strategies of government. And also to look at what is the position of those who are in creative industry. And also to know and understand when you speak about professionals in creative industry, what do you mean? Are you only speaking about artists? Are you only speaking about storyteller? Are you only speaking about actors and musicians? Are we only speaking about visual artists? What is the context of creative industry? And how are these people with gifted mind? How are these people with gifted mind for too long go unrecognized? And the bank, the central bank, government, have realized to say other countries, they are using their creative minds to upgrade their country's pride, their cultural norms, and also their standard when it's coming to international level. Why do you think Kerry Kumaro, performance for 2 hours, worth more than $500,000, just 2 hours, $500,000, because of the standard of the industry where she is, because of the recognition, because South Africa, you can't compare it to Namibia when it's coming to creative industry. That's why Namibia realized to say, no, we need to look at the books and we need to look at the calculations. And you look at what creative industry contribute to the GDP of these countries. Look at Nigeria. Look at the US. But are our Namibians' creative industry getting something? The aspect of YouTube payment, how many of Namibians are getting money through YouTube? What are the policy regulations there? What is the standard and recognition of our comedians and many other professionals within that creative industry? So for more information, and you can also be able to look at the views of even a dancer is within the creative industry. What is the views of dancers when it's coming to the creative industry? How are they treated? You know, we'll find some dancers, they even end up paid with alcohol, clothes, or just food. But is that the level that we must be as a country? So get time and read the Villager newspaper. Look at page 4 and, you can get to that context. Yeah, while we are there, can also look at page 5, then you'll also be able to look at Mitco export heights to Kenya and the African Continental Free Trade Area. To say the African Continental Free Trade Area is moving slowly but surely, especially when it comes to when it's coming to trade, that Mitco is also will expand expand its trading partners, and also diversify the way it trades, particularly when it's coming to African Continental Free Trade Area, by exporting or will dispatch 2 containers of wet blue hides from Okapuka tannery to Mombasa, Kenya, and making it its first export, especially when it's coming to African Continental Free Trade Area. So I think Namibia is making some positive development when it's coming to Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And the question that we should always ask is, how are the smaller businesses benefiting from African Continental Free Trade Area? Because if you are looking at a bigger level, it's a big institution, well established, but do we have a platform to allow these smaller businesses to partake in Africa Continental Free Trade Area? Because it's not only about products, also services. So the other aspect is that Namibia started with implementation of this African Continental Free Trade Area, particularly on the 30th of June, when the first consignment of salt was sent to Nigeria, and that marked positive development. And looking at things are moving slowly but surely. Look at that story, read it, expand it, and also see what the relevance of African Continental Free Trade Area in national economic development. So and there's also an article from that side of Rundu, especially when you look at
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanon.
Yeah, I was speaking to Meme Loise Ipinge. He's an economist and who join us in 5 minutes, especially to speak about Aliko Dangote's decision to say, and also ask those questions to say, what is in for us? Because the question has always been, what is in for us Namibians? Is it a challenge to Namibian development, or is it an opportunity for collaboration? And what are some of the benefits and opportunities that will come from this pipeline? Because it's not only a pipeline, because when you speak about a fuel pipeline, and I've seen some people, either it's on Facebook, Twitter, they are commenting to say, we are also going to do like Gungura, we are coming up with our alternative pipeline. It's kind of a joke, but this is going to be a bigger infrastructure, because it's a pipeline to speak, but the structure of a fuel pipeline is not like any other structure. There's aspect of safety, there's aspect of strength, there's also an aspect of monitoring, and the aspect of also of continue upgrading, because it's fuel. And you cannot just transport fuel from any other pipeline. So those are some of the things that we need to look at, particularly when it comes to development in that aspect. So while we are at the Villager, the Villager newspaper, you know, it was indicated that the Ministry of Environment, look at page six of the Villager newspaper. It was indicated that the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism said it does not provide compensation but offer once-off payment to families of affected by wildlife-related injuries, damage or death. Especially, you can speak of crocodiles, you can speak of elephants, and speak of human and wildlife conflict, and the minister said it's not compensation, but once off payment. Look at that article. Look at that article by my colleague Anakreta Haikera, and expand it, read it, and also be able to see, particularly when it's coming to human and wildlife conflict, and also for us to be careful, because I was looking online. Somebody was dancing, in a range of, let me say 20 meters from a hippopotamus, in the range of 20 meters from a hippo. And, people are commenting to say this man is praying to die because a hippo does not play, is not an animal to play with. Especially when it's coming to human, and it can divide you into half within a second. Although it's not a meat eater, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So that's why when it's coming to us dealing with wildlife, look at that aspect and also see how things need to be dealt with, particularly from that point of view. So the other aspect is also the article on government handing over 58 houses in Ochomwisa Extension 10. 58 houses were in and over the Chomwisa Extension 10. Who are the beneficiaries? Go and look at that aspect. And it's an opinionated article by Mr. John Statler, a well-known economist, on SME must become Namibia economic engine. That is an article by John Stadler, so well-known economist. Then you look at Vumanbrock. Vumanbrock, there is summer saving sale there. Go and buy your Backpro. Go and buy your cornflakes there. Go and buy your milk, mayonnaise. It's Christmas is around the corner, and you need to position yourself strategically, economically, so that you can be able to feed your family, and also enjoy your Christmas with happiness. And you can only get that especially at Vrooman Block supermarkets. And get time, read the Villager newspaper, and you will also be able to see where things are standing. You can also be able to, there is real good chicken there at $79.99. And look at that aspect. Yeah. Let's look at our economist and look at what do we have, especially when it's coming to the conversation for today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM
The Eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a...
Yeah, we are continuing with the Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated, that we are going to look at those with knowledge of economics, especially to give us input when it comes to the decision or the deal by Aricon Dangote to build the fuel pipeline from Namibia. And also to ask questions to say, is it an opportunity or is a challenge? Today in the studio, I'm joined by Ms. Loise Ipinge. And to help us unpack this, Ms. Loise Ipinge, thank you for your time, and good morning. Hello? Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing?
You can hear me now.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, no, thank you so much for the opportunity granted to be able to discuss this topic. I think it's of great importance in the current economy that we are facing in Namibia, and I'm happy to be here.
No, thank you. We are also happy to have you. Now, let us start with it. You know, the richest man in Africa. At one point, he was here in Namibia, and just last week, we got information and also news indicating that he signed a deal of $1 billion to build a fuel pipeline from Namibia via Botswana to Bulawayo. Now, what does this mean to the Namibian economy, if you have to put it in that context, words?
I think it's great news, but it's great news that we also have to see how Namibia deals with the whole deal in itself. What negotiations are we making?
Yeah.
Because essentially from what I'm seeing is that we are essentially just aligned to Zimbabwe. We are using our port to be able to get the oil that they have in Nigeria to them. Yes, there is a fertilizer, but some that's also being done there. But I think it's a great opportunity because essentially the only reason they're using Namibia is because of our hub and that we are close to Zimbabwe, which they can't go straight to them, but their main aim is to go to Zimbabwe.
Now, somebody was also asking, were we part of the deal? The Namibia knew about that. We have approved that, and what is in for us?
Yeah. Essentially, from what I'm reading in the media, there doesn't seem to be really much indicating that.
Yeah.
I think we definitely have to speak to the office of the president to hear what's the final details in regard to that. But in general, I think it's a huge, huge opportunity because right now, realistically, we are getting our fuel from overseas, and I just don't understand why. I think for me, the one with the conversation I would like to have with even our leaders is that we have, you know, oil producers in Africa, but we are still getting our oil from somewhere else. And reality right now, everything is expensive because of petrol. Everything is expensive because of fuel. And it can be cheaper if we get it from our neighboring countries. For example, like Angola. I don't even know why we just don't build a pipeline straight from there.
Yeah.
I think it's a great opportunity. The only question is maybe how are we handling it. But reality, if we have fuel that is straight in our harbor, I'm pretty sure it's going to be cheaper compared to where we are getting it right now. Yeah.
Now, you know, there's always a question that every young person, me included, asking to say, any opportunity come, any infrastructure come, there's always an aspect to say, do I have skills to work in that aspect? Because when you are building something come via I know it's not going to be an easy, maybe a sophisticated pipeline. Do we have those skills in Namibia that we can also say, no, if you are building this, at least employ my people, do we have those technical skills to help in the construction of that, you know, pipeline? And what are the opportunities for young people in that aspect, if I have to put it that way?
Okay, realistically, I think some of these major projects, most of us as young people need to try and align our skills to what they're asking. And so we really have to maybe keep monitoring what is happening.
Mm.
What I do like, there was a company called Hyphen, I think at one point, that was going around. The memorandum they had with the government was that they will do some sort of upskilling. People can submit their CVs, businesses can be able to see how they can combine together to maybe offer services.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what they are going to follow as well. I hope that is also the plan as far as the government is concerned,
mm-hmm.
So that we can bring our skills. I do know the president was also here in Novemberland at trade fair.
Yeah.
His speech was that you know, we need to upskill ourselves so that we can be able now to be included in these opportunities, because realistically a company can't come and hire us if we don't have the skills. But I don't think the gap as far as skills is concerned is too high
mm-hmm,
to get
mm-hmm.
where we are to where we need to be. Most of us, unfortunately, obviously, we have done maybe various degrees that don't necessarily align exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's our job to now jump from where we are. Because if you have a basic foundational education from a tertiary institution,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to upskill yourself now. You don't need now just to be spoon-fed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just say, look, if I need to do coding and study something, go online, study. If I need to get a quick certificate that will just get me in the door, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think the main important thing here is to say, how is the government going to make it easier for us to increase our skills as quickly as possible?
Mm.
When is this project going to be done? How can people start, you know, preparing themselves to now, you know, be able to gain these opportunities that are going to become available? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm saying, is that opportunity dependent on how we get involved.
Mm-hmm. So we should not just say because it's going through our field, it must be part of us. We must also position ourselves. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just be passive waiting for a job to come. It won't come, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Now let us look at how Namibia can leverage this position. You know, Namibia is a trade hub when it comes to Walvis Bay Seaport. It's not only Zimbabwe and many other countries such as Botswana. But now, how can Namibia leverage this strategic position when it's coming to trade with Southern Africa, especially when you are seeing a lot of development coming out? How can we, you know, continue leveraging this position? Because it's not everybody who has a seaport, especially like Namibia, because I understand that even some transportation to Angola has to come via Walvis Bay.
I mean, leveraging, honestly, that's the main thing, is that when you have an access port like that, you have power.
Mm.
So and the other person obviously needs you.
Mm.
So you do have to, I think here negotiation is key. Mm. As far as trade is concerned, there we do have to have smart people
mm-hmm.
that can be able to leverage risk, that can be able to negotiate properly to balance our needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to say you should block, but yeah. It's to also be at a point where, okay, we are asking for this, you are asking for that, where can we meet in the middle ground and be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main thing here is just that, I think the only question that comes to me is just that, who is there? And are they being smart? Because it's just that part is the significant part. Because if we can learn the skills, if we can be able to just leverage some sort of income through there, then we can be able to, you know, bring it in our own country and reinvest in our own country. The reality is, as young people, speaking to myself, we have been exposed, you know, we've been abroad, we've been to various countries.
Mm.
And sometimes you feel like, yo, these countries are amazing. Do I really want to go back to Namibia? Maybe I should just stay put here. Things are already done here. But then you have this thing of saying, look, I need to go back and change my country.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come here and you feel like the job is so daunting. It takes so much to do to get to the level where we want it to be. I think hopefully there's someone smart. Hopefully most of us that are interested and are passionate about these things of growing Namibia, we can somehow find ourselves and collaborate and get some of these things done, because it can be done. Other countries have done it. Why not us? We are a 3 million country. We have so many resources. Honestly, there should, I, they, like, it, it baffles me. There shouldn't be any person who's suffering in Namibia. We have too many resources. It's too few people to share that.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes, Ms. Loisa Ipinge, last question. Last question. Because there's always this thing of competitive advantage, and there are always challenges too, because Namibia, we are also in the process of, I don't want to say drilling, but we have discovered oil and gas, and a lot of companies are already here in Namibia. Now, it's stated that Dangote is planning to build an oil storage facility in Walvis Bay. And now the question is that, is this a good thing or is a competition to Namibian future of oil? Because when he's building a oil facility, I understand, or with my view is that when he is refining oil from Nigeria, wherever, this one is before trading. But my question is that, is this a good thing or is it a competition to Namibian future of oil?
No, I think it's a good thing. And remember, he's transporting it to Zimbabwe, right? He's going to have it here, but I don't think he thinks our population is probably too low. So that he's just using us as a way to get to Zimbabwe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it does mean that we can even also sell to Zimbabwe because there's already a pipeline. It could mean that we now have a way of knowing that we could also build other pipelines somewhere else. But the reality is within Africa, we also need to start trading within Africa. We need to stop trying to sell our things all the way to Europe. Why don't we sell our things directly to Zimbabwe or to Botswana or to, I think sometimes competition is good. Competition is good because it also means the other person needs to think better. They need to try and serve the consumer better.
Yeah.
Because when there's no competition, the person relaxes, they don't do what they need to do because they are going to earn the money anyway. And it just means that these guys that are coming up, they will also be strategic in how they are going to sell, where are they selling. I think it's a good thing. It doesn't block anyone. It just maybe paves the way on how things should be done and perhaps also allows us to say, look, we realize we have a hub here and other people are seeing that. How can we use it better to serve the whole of Africa, perhaps, and not only, Zimbabwe? Yeah.
So it's not a threat. Just your final word, based on this, you mentioned something very interesting, especially when it comes to, we need smart people to negotiate on our behalf. We need people who can use resources as our leverage, because, it was also stated by the president at the public and private sector forum to say, let us negotiate with good might, not with poverty mentality. Maybe just to emphasize on that, before I let you go.
Yeah, no, essentially, poverty mindset is just saying, oh, bruh, I'm so hungry, give me whatever.
Right? Yeah. Under the table.
Knowing your value, knowing that we do have something. If we say no, these people can't get their goals. I think that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding that if you, get the benefit for the larger nation, then perhaps eventually we all will benefit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people don't see the bigger picture. You might think like, okay, let me earn this money quickly for me to get where. But if everyone around you is poor, that doesn't help you.
Mm-hmm.
I think on this one, like I said, it really needs someone with a strong mind. It really needs someone who knows, who understands Namibia, where we are coming from, where we are going, who sees the future, the next 100 years, the next generation. Who sees where we are going, who understands that, okay, if I'm building these long-term relationships, how am I building them, balancing all the negotiations on a larger landscape. And someone obviously who's not hungry. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me, even I am, if I'm coming, like, really, I haven't eaten
before.
I don't know, for 5 days or so, and you bring food before me, I will take the food, unfortunately.
Definitely.
It's just a nature of a human.
Yeah.
So that one needs to be looked at properly, that it can't be someone who's too hungry such that they will they will just accept any bribe. But I think in Namibia right now, we should be at a point where we do have that caliber. We can be able to stand to say, look, I'm not that hungry. I mean, my oil can stay on the ground for the next 8 years and wait for my people to develop if need be. It's not like we are going to die, right? But so we don't have to make negotiations based on like, okay, if it doesn't get done, I'm going to die. But we can say, look, maybe to fasten the process, how can I make sure that everyone benefits? Not only this person that's coming in to bring in their money, but us as well as common, and to also ensure that we are not in slavery forever. They are coming here, they should benefit for a certain period, and make them money that they can make, and also allow us to continue so that, you know, this thing is not them forever. For the next generation, they are still making money off of us.
Yes, Ms. Loise Ipinge, thank you very much for your time, and thank you also for your input.
No, thank you for having me, and I hope the discussion goes. I'm now excited to just hear what is the whole story, because I feel like right now the storyline is too short. Doesn't give much information. I pray for our president. I pray for whoever is engaging in these things that they make the right decision for all of us. And we hope to see things unfold. Yeah.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. That was Miss Loise Ipinge. I almost said Loise Shimi. Ms. Loise Ipinge is an economist and gave us perspective, especially when it comes to the decision of, Aliko Dangote, the richest man in Africa. Very humble, very strategic, and he's a project man. When he stand somewhere, he look at industries, he build industries. If you look at Nigeria, if you look at the economic development of Nigeria, and we just wish we have a lot of Dangotes in Africa, particularly in Southern Africa, and especially when it's coming to those who build infrastructure, because if you build something, it will be there forever, and it will be there for generations to come, especially if it's handled very well. Because the foundation of American economy is families of strong business people who build not only for themselves, but build for the future. And the futures to come, they have influence, they have power, and they build industries. Look at the guys such as the Ford companies. Look at the Rockefellers. This is not one person. These are the families which continue. But when you build industries, that is a good thing. But one point that you can also get from Ms. Loise Ipinge, especially when it comes to negotiation, to say, how can Namibia use the seaport as a leverage, particularly when it's coming to economic negotiations, to say we need smart people. We need people who understand that, other countries are using their trading routes as negotiating point. Look at Iran, for example. We can say, we can have different views about Iran, but one of the deal makers in Iran to stop the war, which nobody knew, it was the trade route, that Hormuz trade route, that at any point in time, Iran has control over 1,000 ships and boats trading with oil in the Middle East. But that is not only an economic power, but it's also a political leverage. But us, we need more people with skills. And what I can also take from Ms. Loise Ipinge, what I mentioned is that apart from having smart negotiators, we also need to people that are long-term thinkers, especially those who look at to say, you cannot negotiate with a hungry stomach, for example, but your resources can still stay. Don't just negotiate to finish the day. Your resources can still stay for 30 years while you are busy also developing your skills, but she indicated to say it's part of human nature to say, if I do not eat for 3 days and I come to the negotiation, I find KFC, I have to think about that first. That's why it's very difficult. War are won on the negotiation table. Things are won at the negotiation tables, because if you lose that battle, you will not win it on the ground. That's why that is the aspect of us to say, and I've asked the question to say, is this building of oil storage facility a threat to Namibian development? To say, no, it's not a threat. It can be even an opportunity. And looking at that aspect, it's also when you see that Dangote, look at also numbers to say, why in Zimbabwe? Why in Zimbabwe? Why not in Botswana? Why not in South Africa? Dangote, look at numbers. And he's a student of business, or he's a graduate of business. He understands that the resilience, the business mindset of the people of Zimbabwe too. You must be able to give them credit to say, if you have educated human capital, you suffered sanctions for over 20 years, but you managed to grow your economy with over 5% at this current difficult moment. Maybe that is the future of Southern Africa. Maybe Zimbabwe is about to become the breadbasket for Africa again. Look at this population. Look at how things are. But the question has always been to say, what is that Namibia can learn, and what do we need to do? And the aspect of skills is also the aspect of saying, let us only not saying things are in our country, we must be benefit from things which are in our country. We must also upgrade. We must also be able to upgrade ourselves. We must also be able to upgrade ourselves. Let us always try to make sure that we upgrade our skills. We are not only people that are entitled to say, if he's going through my field, I must upgrade it. Because imagine if you are a mechanical engineer, you are a fit and ten, you are a boiler maker. You must be able to upgrade your skill toward that line, and you must also be able to be willing to go to training. So maybe one day you will be part of those development. Because in this point in time, although as really young people, we want things to be things to change. We want employment. We want opportunity. We must also become to the reality to say, at the end of the day, people still want skills. If I have wrong skills, or if I have skills which need to be advanced, we must be willing to go to school. We must be willing to take that scholarship after a very long time of not going to school. You must be able to go and upgrade yourself, because education, right education at the right point in time, can be able to build industries and also economic development of the country. Let us look at Namibia Mills, Pastor Polan, then...
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like boring day at the Spani, polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich, polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Want to know
itself.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Yeah, it's 46 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 14 minutes before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. And we are there. Economic aspect. Must be able to look at, Miss Joanna, a SWAT boy. Must be able to continue supporting our lady out there. She's representing us. There's a lot of energy. The Maurice is excited to look at her. I hope you're also excited, particularly when we are represented. And just also to see and to give motivation to other Namibian ladies that you can still do more. You can still do more. And one of the things that I'm also impressed by our Miss Namibia, or to be crowned Miss Universe, because I'm confident that she's very competitive, and the degree of winning or the possibility of winning is very high. And looking at her, it's not only a model, but is somebody who is also who studied business, marketing, administration there, that we cannot only say, because I'm in the creative sector, I rely on talent, but somebody who has papers, qualifications, and also looking at other, our creative, our models. I think, I was talking to Prisca Inyore at one point. I think she's a graduate of journalism too. You look at the Selma Kamanya, them, I think, studied economics, and I'm putting this point to say education and talent must go also hand in hand, to say if you are a footballer and you can't just be a footballer forever, you must also be able to go to school and study something. Or see, when people that we look, for example, in EPL, these are not only ordinary guys. We'll go and look at qualifications of Kante. Golo Kante, look at John Mata, look at people such as Kompany. Some of these guys have MBAs, but they choose football. But it's a long term, because education is a long term, thing that you can fall back into, and skills that you can still use post your talent, because it's one thing that we need to look at, especially even our boxers and all these things. There must always be something that you do that can keep you, because talent with age and time, you can't be a runner until you are 60 years, because there is always time that situation and life itself and commitment will pull up. But educating yourself, even if not the qualification, skills other than talent also matters, because at the end of the day, you must be able to put the bread on the table, and you must be able to manage your resources. So do not forget to look at the Villager newspaper for more of economic information. But you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. While we are there, it's also important, because we always ask a question to say, although we ask questions of what have you done over the past 11 months, this is a question of what are you going to do new in the next days to come, or in the next 12 months post December. What are you going to do new? What are some of the things that disturbed your yearly resolutions? Your yearly resolutions, because there is always there's always something that I observe, because when something did not go well, there's always this, no, if it was not because of you, I could not have done this. If it was not because of you, have we ever come to the point of putting the blame away and look at ourselves to say, instead of me blaming the weather, instead of me blaming the driver did not come on time, instead of me blaming my kids, what have I done? Because the moment we come to the question of personal accountability, that is more easier also to take responsibilities. If we cannot continue blaming the weather, continue blaming the power outage, continue blaming, somebody did not meet certain requirements, or somebody didn't block me, because there's always this aspect, no, somebody disturbed me, I did not achieve my goal. But let us look at what have we done that was within our control for the past, 11 months. And what are you going to do new? Because whether you cry or you celebrate, there is nothing that you can do about yesterday. Yesterday is done and it's history, whether it's bad or good. But the future of Namibian economy depends on the futuristic thinking and the practical actions that are done now. Depends on what do we think about the future and what are we doing about tomorrow. Because we planned about tomorrow a long time ago. Look at various institutional developmental plans. Today has been on the plan, but what is that is being done today so that we can do tomorrow? What can we do to make sure that we develop the culture of practical, implementation of goods rather than we are going to do what? And also, to reflect on today's conversation, what are we doing new today to make sure that when it's coming to Avis Bay Seaport, when it's coming to Rudere Seaport, we come up with better strategies on the leveraging on that? Because what the economist Loise Pinger stated that compared to other countries, they are doing much better, especially in advancing their country's strategic positions. Because Namibia is not only beautiful with minerals and good nature, it's also geographically located, connecting people to Atlantic Oceans, even trade routes in Angola. Some of these things have to go through the ports of Walvis Bay. Why Walvis Bay? And if a man by Aliko Dangote, why he did not come to South Africa? He has seen the geographical position of Namibia. If other countries are seeing beauty in us, why can't we see beauty in ourselves? If other countries are seeing economic opportunities in us, why can't we see opportunities that are in front of us? When somebody spoke, when the president spoke about, let us negotiate let us not negotiate with positive mentality. How many of people, they are closing deals just because it's not going to materialize in the next 10 years? We are looking at quick deals, because quick deals killed a lot of countries' economy. Quick deals killed a lot of countries' economy. But I think it's start to come out to say, Namibia, we have gold. We are sitting on a gold mine. We are in paradise, but we are not seeing it. We have capacity to promote food security, but we are not seeing it. But it's a question of awakening ourselves to say, why somebody come from Democratic Republic of Congo, for example, running away from war, like any other person. But did not settle in Angola, did not settle in Zambia, did not settle in Malawi, did not settle in Tanzania, did not settle in Botswana, but decided to come to Namibia. Why are some people come to Namibia and become so successful in business? What is that we are not seeing? Because the moment we start asking ourselves those questions, there will be a point where we are starting to see what you are not seeing, particularly when it's coming to opportunity, when it's coming to resources, when it's coming to the environment. And it doesn't mean that paradise should not be expanded. It means that we should continue upgrading and reforming our laws to the advantage of the Namibian citizen, so that we can thrive, either it's in business, either it's in politics, either it's in government implementation of policies. Because now things have been started, industry have been started, deals have been made. Now what actions are going to involve Namibian people? Because at the end of the day, somebody must benefit, and not only benefit of entitlement, but benefit because you are able to do the job, and you are able also to contribute to that economic development. Yeah, while we are there, the other aspect that we need to look at, the aspect of COP, especially COP30, and also where are the Namibian people, especially when it's coming to climate affairs, what is position? Because there is always aspect of climate change. We have seen a lot of conferences around Namibia when it's coming to climate. But when it's coming to climate, are this concept really simplified? Because whether we like it or not, there is more fundings in the climate space, but there is less people who are sensitized about the issues of climate. Are we really doing real projects which are benefiting the Namibian people, particularly when it's coming to the climate space? And how many of Namibians understand the issues of climate, especially climate finance, climate funding? How many of Namibians understand this thing, or we only have few or less who also are benefiting from this space? What is the definition of climate change and initiative at an academic level? How are universities cooperating with international institutions to benefit the Namibian people? Because ask yourself this question, there's always an aspect of the same. What is in for the Namibian young people? Because I've seen around, either it's in South Africa, either it's in Angola, either it's African Union, wherever, there's always somebody represent, for example, the young people. But young people don't ask themselves. Let me say it's COP 30. There's a young person representing Namibian people. All these years, there are people who are representing Namibia, whether it's youth parliamentarian, either it's everywhere. But you don't ask yourself. This World Economic Forum, for example, used to host annually summits. There's always a young person representing Namibian people. But if we ask ourselves, how do Namibian people, Namibian people get these opportunities, and what other opportunities are there for everybody? Because we need to ask beyond that. Because if we are just saying, no, you will see me on TV, I'm representing Namibian young people, but you don't even know what I'm doing in a conference in Rwanda, for example. Let us come to the aspect of simplifying of information, and also to the aspect of making sure that everybody is on board, especially when it comes to the direction of development, the interest, and also the goals of national development. So, dear listeners, thank you for listening to Early Morning Scoop, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. And from me, David Chombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.